So the next day, Lord Chaitanya called Damodar Pandit to a secluded place and told him, I think you better go back to Navadvip and protect my mother there. Go pay millions of obeisances at Shachimati's lotus feet and look after her affairs. And then you can bring messages from me to her, and from time to time you can come back and bring messages from her to me. Specifically, Lord Chaitanya instructed him, as he also instructed Srivas Thakur on another occasion, to convince Mother Sachi that he was actually going there. Lord Chaitanya was actually going there and eating the offerings that she made. Mother Sachi was and Vishnupriya were feeling great separation from Lord Chaitanya, and Mother Sachi would sometimes cook all this nice bhoga that Nimai loved, and she would make an offering before the deity and would cry out of affection and feelings of separation and ecstatic love for Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya would be moved by that that ecstasy of Mother Sachi, and would come there and actually eat all the offerings off the plate and leave the plate empty. And then Mother Sachi would see that the plate was empty, and she would say, what happened? You know, I don't think the deity ate the, you know, maybe an animal came here and ate the offering. Or then she would go back in the kitchen and see that there was still food in the pots, so she would make another offering that way. And this is also, Krishna also, in the same way, he visits the Vrijvasis, who are dying out of separation, this mysterious ecstasy that appears to be painful and like this unbearable sorrow that is actually a great ultimate extent of love of God. That Krishna, it's said that he never takes one step out of Vrindavan, that Krishna remains in Vrindavan, and he actually appears in these sportis to his devotees there in their separation. There in madness of separation, there, you know, one gopi is embracing a tamal tree, and sometimes they're playing the roles. One pretends to be the Kaliya serpent and the other pretends to be Krishna or whatever. They play the Krishna's pastimes, constantly thinking of his pastimes. They can't stop. And sometimes he actually comes there and meets with them and brings them great happiness. But then they think, oh, this was a dream. In the same way Mother Sachi would do that. And so Lord Chaitanya wanted her to know that he was doing well, that he was happy, give her happiness by that. And also he asked specifically Damodar Pandit that he should impress upon her that he was really coming there and he was the one that was eating the offerings. So these, you can see the way Lord Chaitanya is talking kind of sarcastically, humorously almost. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is so wonderful. We should always remember, I know there are so many advanced devotees here who I know always see, that Lord Chaitanya really is Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna in the mood of Radharani. And he's come for different purposes, some external purposes, some internal purposes. It so happens that he came at the time of, it was the time for the Kali Yuga, Yuga Avatar to appear. And so the purposes that Krishna comes, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma sangstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So he was it was important for him to establish the Yuga Dharma of chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, he gave this very special prema that's not usually available from other avatars. It's the most munificent avatar. But he was concerned that his preaching work would go on nicely. And it's very important for us to realize that we're part of these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, and we have to leave people with a good impression. And so he was concerned that he had taken sannyas as part of his preaching mission, but sometimes we see nowadays that sannyasis become involved in politics, or they become involved in big wealthy enterprises that are not necessarily spiritually involved in preaching. That's not the duty of a sannyasi. A sannyasi, of course, there are other people, householders, that are involved in dealing with the material elements and making proper arrangements. A king has to make sure the citizens are getting enough food and getting a proper occupation, making spiritual advancement also, which is not something we do in our secular modern society. But a sannyasi is the spiritual master of society, that he's showing people that we don't have to have so much to do with this material world. We don't have to keep polishing the cage without taking care of the bird within the cage. And so it's a sannyasi's duty to become aloof from mundane politics and from people with great wealth and material sense enjoyers and things. Sannyasi should not associate with them. So Lord Chaitanya was concerned for his reputation, even though King Prataparudra was a great devotee and his devotion was attracting Lord Chaitanya internally. He wanted to impress that. He said that on a white cloth, even a small black stain is very visible. If you have a whole big pot of milk, but even if you put just one drop of wine in it, it becomes contaminated. You can't serve it to the deity. So we should have spotless character, or our preaching will work. The other day, Bhrigupati was talking, or actually Amala Bhakta Prabhu Maharaj was saying how we have to get people not just to distribute the books, but to read the books. And of course, we have to get the books out there. The frontline distributors have to give everyone the books. But people will appreciate our books and consult Srila Prabhupada's books if they see, when they meet devotees, what good character devotees have. And we don't want to have a bad reputation. So Lord Chaitanya, jokingly, while this was going on, he was saying, but he was chastising Prabhupada said he was making the point that a devotee should always not criticize the spiritual master, or in this case, the personality of Godhead, and not consider himself qualified to criticize his own spiritual master. The relationship with the devotee and spiritual master has to be one of this formal reverence. And so Damodar Pandit replied very archly. He said, "My Lord, you are the fully independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since everything is known to you, you know what is permissible and what is not permissible. I am merely an insignificant jiva, so what power do I have to give directions to you? By your own personal choice, you will meet the king. I shall see it. The king is very much attached to you, and you are feeling affection and love towards him. Thus I can understand that by virtue of the king's affection for you, you will touch him. Although you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are completely independent, still you are dependent on the love and affection of your devotees. That is your nature." So we heard in the summary how, of course, we've been hearing for the last couple of chapters how the devotees are beseeching Lord Chaitanya to see the king, but out of his concern for being a proper sannyasi, he was declining. He was rejecting the idea. So gradually the devotees were making inroads. So Lord Nityananda suggested, why don't you just give one of your cloth? There's no harm. You give a piece of your cloth to the king. So when the king saw the cloth, this is discussed in this chapter, that he immediately received it as if Lord Chaitanya himself was present, and he began worshiping it. And this further softened the Lord's heart. So the Lord was willing the next day to see the king's son. After all, it's the king's son. He's a prince, but he's not a powerful king. So it's not so bad for a sannyasi to see the prince. And when the prince came there dressed he had yellow cloth around his waist. He wasn't dressed as a royal prince. He had jeweled ornaments, and he reminded Lord Chaitanya of Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya delivered him and because the son represents the father, gradually King Pratapurudra, you'll hear in later chapters how he sweeps before the Rath cart, and he, when one of his servants, Harichandra, tries to push Srivas Thakur out of the way, when he's looking at the dancing of Lord Chaitanya, this fabulous dancing, of course, Srivas Thakur is Narada Muni, his great personality. We should remember, as we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we should remember all the who the real personalities are in Krishna Leela too, and it's so much significance and hidden significance there. But Lord Srivas Thakur just turns around and slaps him. He's in ecstasy watching Lord Chaitanya dance. There's this person trying to push me out of the way, and he slaps the king's assistant, and then the king stops the assistant from responding. He tells him that you've received so much mercy, you got slapped today by Srivas Thakur. And then Lord Chaitanya even falls down in front of him during the dancing. And there's no one else around, and the king picks up Lord Chaitanya. But when the Lord recognizes, oh, it's a king, then he reacts like, oh, I've touched a materialistic person. He goes away. But anyway, this Damodar Pandit knew that the Lord would be won over that the Lord's internally, even though he was concerned about appearances, he also couldn't resist the love of his pure devotee, and he would eventually have to give an audience to King Prataparudra so that he could see that in advance. Damodar Pandit is in Krishna Leela. He's a particular gopi named Shaibya. I was told by Her Grace Mother Karta here, Karta Devi, that Shaibya is an assistant of Radharani's rival Chandravali. And he's described in the Gauragunadesh Deepika of Kavi Karnapur. This verse, Shaivyo Yasid Rajay Chandi Sadamo Dara Pandita Kutashchit Karyato Devi Pravishat Tam Sarasvati. The terrible tempered gopi named Shaivya became Damodar Pandit in Gaura Leela, though occasionally the goddess Saraswati also entered into him for some special purpose. So I would be remiss if I didn't discuss something about the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. We're all excited about this Rath Yatra festival, and this is an important part of the Rath Yatra festival that Lord Chaitanya observed with the devotees. And it's described in this chapter how the Lord, he summoned Kashi Mishra and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and the superintendent of the temple, and he asked, please, can I have permission to clean the Gundicha temple? This was another thing that endeared Lord Chaitanya to the king. The superintendent of the temple said, oh, the king has given me instruction to do whatever you want and give you whatever facility you want. And although, you know, you are an exalted personality, you shouldn't be cleaning the temple. Someone else can do that. But because you're requesting it, I have to do whatever you say. So it supplied him with 100 brooms and 100 water pots. And the Lord and the devotees went to the Gundicha temple. And first they began sweeping the walls and the ceilings and the floors. And Lord Chaitanya was taking the dust, all the straw and things into his cloth and putting it in a pile. And all the others, the devotees were doing that, and they were sweeping. And Lord Chaitanya was encouraging. When he saw someone sweeping, working very hard, he would say, oh, you're doing a good job. And then the other devotees would feel ashamed and want to increase. And when they all gathered all the dust outside in their different piles, Lord Chaitanya's pile was bigger than all the other piles put together. So, and this is not just an exaggeration. You know, some people think, oh, the atheistic mentality will want to think, oh, this is just hagiography, and for literary purposes, Kaviraj Goswami is exaggerating, using hyperbole to glorify Lord Chaitanya. But no, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, and he performed miracles just like Krishna performed miracles, not as ostentatiously. He didn't lift Govardhan Hill or whatever, but the devotee, he did show his universal form to Advaitacharya. He performed all these miracles among his, at least among his confidential devotees could see it. And then they poured water. The devotees got so excited. They were just saying, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Everybody was chanting Krishna, Krishna. And they went out and they were getting pots of water and pouring it all over, pouring it on the ceilings and the walls and coming down and letting it out in big rivers. And it was so many devotees that they had to bring more pots. The river was lined up with too many people in the pots, so somebody had to go to a well to get water. And while they were handing each other pots, and if somebody wanted something, he would say, Krishna, Krishna, and the other person would understand and provide him another pot. You know, oh, Krishna, Krishna, here's a pot. And they just said Krishna, Krishna. They weren't saying anything else, but they were all making themselves understood. They were very enthusiastically cleansing the temple. And this pastime shows us several things. Externally, or the obvious thing is that cleanliness is very important. The saying goes, cleanliness is next to godliness, but Srila Prabhupada amended it to say cleanliness is godliness. You know, whenever anything is created in the material world, it all of a sudden starts to decay, right? The mode of passion is for creation, the mode of ignorance is for destroying things and making things dirty. And the mode of goodness, which is the more pure mode, the more godly mode, is maintenance and keeping things clean. Brahmins should be very clean. They leave a place cleaner than when they got there. Deity worship, it's important. Cleanliness is, or what they say, summit cleanliness is essential. Shringaratan Mandira Marjanado. It's part of deity worship, the cleaning of the temple. And devotees should become pure in heart. Krishna, Shrinvatang Sukata Krishna, Punyakshravana Kirtanaha, Hridyantaksto Hibadrani Vidunoti Suritsata Satam. Krishna sits in our hearts and he cleans out of his hearts. That Jnana Deepena Bhasvata. What is he? With the lamp of knowledge, he destroys the ignorance in our hearts. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, Ishvara Hridya. Hridya sta tavarudya bitra atra kritibis tatsushubrish tatshana. I mangled that one, didn't I? The second verse of the first chapter, the first canto, that the Lord will actually become established as an irrevocable fact by someone who regularly and sushushubi, not just listens, but attentively listens, very, very seriously listens to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Along with our chanting, there's a clearing stage of chanting, that's also cleansing. So that's a second point, the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, that we're making a place for the Lord to sit. So we have to make it clean. So we have to get rid of the anartas in our hearts. There's different, tamishra and andatamishra, avidya and moha and so forth. There's different kinds of anartas that have come from our past sinful activities and from our past pious activities, from our offenses to the holy name. And there's weeds that grow as we're watering the creeper that Lord Chaitanya describes. Am I running out of time? There's weeds that grow, and we have to make sure that we remove those weeds, that devotees can become, because of their chanting, they can become recognized as saintly people and admired and things. And if the devotee starts to think, if they become proud, that, oh yes, I am a saintly person. Now I'm a paramahansa, I can do anything I want, whatever. These are weeds that have to be carefully nipped in the bud so that the devotional creeper can grow properly. So this cleansing of the Gundicha temple is the cleansing of our hearts to make it a clean place for Lord Krishna to sit. And the more esoteric understanding is that Lord Chaitanya has revealed, or has revealed more about what was already known, that this pastime of Rath Yatra is Lord Krishna going back to Vrindavan, that he's going to the Gundicha temple, which represents Vrindavan, and that he, during the dancing that we'll hear in the next chapter, is this most beautiful description of how during the meeting of Krishna and the Vrijvasis at Kurukshetra, that Krishna has this discussion with Radharani, and she says that her heart is Vrindavan, and that she wants him to place his lotus feet there. So we need to make a clean place for Krishna to sit, but in particular, Lord Chaitanya wanted to make the Gundicha temple Vrindavan, so that Lord Jagannath would want to come and stay there. And this was this mood that we're all celebrating this wonderful festival that has this beautiful esoteric meaning, that in general the public will get blessings, they'll see the cart, they'll see Lord Jagannath, but the devotees may be meditating on how Lord Krishna, his greatest love is Radharani and all the Brij Vasis, and that his real desire is to is not to let them suffer in separation. That suffering is part of, he wants to return and meet them, and then that separation is actually this very ecstatic, fullest explanation or fullest development of bhakti, devotional service, which is the only way to know Krishna and is the ultimate goal of life. So, questions, comments, realizations. We have a little time for discussion. I know in... Is that Archita Prabhu? I don't have... 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Kennedy has something. Please bring her the microphone.
Hare Krishna, thank you for such a beautiful lecture. I had this realization that because Lord Chaitanya was motivating the devotees when they were cleaning and they worked even harder, it's that since it's a metaphor for our heart, when we allow him into our heart and we clean that space for him, he motivates us to work even harder and we fall even further into that bliss. And the intimacy of the action of him cleaning the temple, he cleans it twice because the nature of this world is that it decays, as you said. Mm-hmm. And he's cleaning it with his own clothes because there's so much intimacy in devotional service. And so this is one of the most blissful chapters of Madhya Lila to me. But to know that he's in our hearts and he's motivating us every step of the way is just absolutely incredible. So thank you.
Jai, those are beautiful realizations. We have 2 more minutes. Yes, Rameshwar Prabhu.
I wanted to share different times of these material conceptions, what they were protecting Prabhupada. I felt victim to that many times, but I just wanted to share one of those pastimes. In our New York temple on West 55th Street, we had invited a writer from the New York Times, who is in the religion department, to meet with Prabhupada and interview him. And so we're in Prabhupada's quarters, and she's very skeptical towards what we had told her, that Prabhupada is descended from the spiritual world. He's an ambassador, that he's an associate of God. He speaks with God. She was so skeptical. So in the middle of her interview, she was asking questions like that. And I blurted out, because I had a tendency to blurt things out. So I blurted out this. I thought it would help her to understand that quote that you quoted from Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna from within the heart bestows this incredible consciousness by which you see him and come to him. And I thought that would be like a bridge for her to understand. And then Prabhupada looked at me, slapped his hand down, which not the first time he did that with me. And he said, "No, that is not it." So I always loved when Prabhupada smashed me.
Krishna was directly telling Prabhupada.
Yes,
I remember, I heard the tape too.
And the reporter is stunned. "What do you mean? That's not it. Are you saying that you directly speak with God? Like who in history, in her conception, could do that?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes, that is exactly what it is."
Yeah.
And the way he said it, and with such gravitas and intensity, and he was just effulgent, he started to believe it. It was an incredible pastime.
Well, it's good that you're concerned about Srila Prabhupada's reputation. We need to be concerned about that. And nowadays, with the internet and with cancel culture, people can be denied the opportunity to get Srila Prabhupada's mercy if they read one little line of something that time is up. Is that what you're raising your hand? What's that?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
This point of protecting Prabhupada's reputation, we can't take it too seriously. Just like we have this Hare Krishna movie. So when that came out, some writer wrote in New York Times, how can you praise this person? He's a misogynist and he's anti-Semitic. Mm-hmm. Actually wrote that. So I wrote to Yadavar. I said, it's your movie. You have to respond. Yes, I could get on there and say anything, but it's your movie. You have to respond. My point is, when you put Prabhupada out in the public, you have the responsibility. Just like recently with this moon business. So our Chaitanya Charan, is that his name, right? He has a YouTube channel. So he got on there and he said that, whatever Prabhupada said about the moon, they didn't go there. And immediately, of course, it's going to get negative reactions. The Indian just was so proud. We went to the moon, or we're going to the moon, whatever. So they started lambasting Prabhupada. So I told him also, you have to put this out in the public on YouTube that Prabhupada does not believe in this moon business. So you have to respond. My point again is to all of us. If you all go out and present Prabhupada in whatever venue, by whichever means, books or YouTube or whatever, you have to monitor that space and respond when people say things negatively. Don't leave it up to the rest of the world. You're the one who put it out. You monitor and respond.
We have to try to understand. We all know, because we know Prabhupada, we know he's not a racist or an anti-Semite or whatever. But we have to try to understand, although we can't understand the mind of a Vaishnava, but we understand, like, we're the moon. We're building a temple of the Vedic planetarium in Mayapur, in our flagship, we have to understand Prabhupada's intention, understand it deeply, and be able to explain it properly. But we should also be tactful in how and what we say. Don't always lead with our chin. Try to meet people where they're at so that they can actually appreciate something and they can get the mercy and make more advancement. So,
I agree with everything Archie said, but there's one exception.
Okay, Ramaswara.
The one exception was during Prabhupada's manifest Leela on this earth. He never needed us to defend him. Now he's gone. People criticize. We have to defend that. But when Prabhupada was here, he took care of it himself.
Hmm.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Krishna Das Kaviraj ki jai. Damodar Pandit ki jai. Lord Chaitanya ki jai. All assembled devotees, ki jai, vancha kalpa dhruvyascha kripsini.
Hare Krishna. Here you go. Shvara Padma Krishna Sakchit Ananda Vigraha. You want these back, right? Anadi Radhya Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam Chintamani Prakara Sadma Sukalpa Vriksha Laksha Vritesha Surabhira Vipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Samrama Sevyamanam Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajam. Come in close so they have room to set up for the garlands. Come in close.